100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Welcoming NATO leaders to the first NATO summit in Washington in over 20 years, President Biden making a forceful call to rally around Ukraine in their ongoing push to oust the Russian invasion.
And we know Putin won't stop at Ukraine, but make no mistake, Ukraine can and will stop Putin.
Democratic leaders say they're sticking with President Biden for re-election. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer among the latest. Also, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Leaders say they'll continue conversations with members. A U.S. Navy junior sailor has been punished for trying to bring up President Biden's medical records in a government database on which there were no such records. The primary electric utility for Houston advising about 2 million customers that it'll take several days to restore power knocked out by Hurricane Beryl. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People are urging Wisconsin lawmakers to do something about long-term problems with the state's prison system. Former guards, inmates, and relatives testified to the Assembly's Corrections Committee today. They described sexual harassment and retaliation by supervisors and food and medicine denied to inmates. Milwaukee is getting ready for next week's Republican National Convention. County Executive David Crowley says the Office of Emergency Management and the Sheriff's Department have been especially busy.
Making sure the attendees, protesters, vendors are all safe. But we also have to make sure that we have some traffic management as well, making sure that we can have the traffic flow going through and throughout downtown.
Crowley speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Green Bay Area Public School District is presenting a $183 million referendum to taxpayers in November. The referendum will pay for several renovations to schools, including updating those that will take on more students after the district closes six elementary schools. The public is asked to provide input today at 6 p.m. at Neville Public Museum and 6 p.m. Thursday at MacArthur Elementary School. Governor Tony Evers announced today that he is looking for applicants for Brown County Circuit Court Branch 4 judge. Judge Kendall Kelly is resigning effective August 2nd. The new judge will complete the term ending July 31st, 2025. The application can be found on the Apply to Serve page at evers.wi.gov. Application deadline is 5 p.m. Wednesday, July 31st. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
It's the Brewers and the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game series at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Colin Ray will get the start for Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell off to a slow start at the plate. The 25-year-old center fielder just 3-for-17 with a batting average of 176. I asked him what's been the biggest hurdle coming back from shoulder surgery last year and then a broken hand this year.
I never felt like throughout the whole process that there was a big hurdle. I would say, obviously, like when you come into spring training, right, you got to kind of get all of the soreness and like baseball stuff, you know, get back into shape again. So I think the biggest part was probably just kind of getting through the soreness. But after like the first week of being back, it was pretty normal again.
Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo packing his bags for the Olympics in Paris. Later this month, he led Team Greece to qualify for the games with a win over Croatia. They'll compete with 12 other teams for a gold medal, including France, Australia, and the U.S. Giannis is 29 years old. This will be his first time at the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy. Stray storm or two in the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week. Sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s.
Right now it's 80.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Amy Albright joins us from Discover Oshkosh, and she'll share some of the events coming up later this week. Plus, Ben and Deanna Malcor are in for their Moving with the Malcor segment. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Arnold Show.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Tuesday night. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jess in the house. And yeah, we have a guest. We're going to get him on there. Johnny, though, looking back at last night's show, I just wanted to go, did Matt Damon's mom, Nancy Carlson Page, landed truly a mic drop moment? And in fact, she couldn't have dropped that mic a moment too soon. She cut it right out at the very end. I'm putting out check it back, you know, go back, see the show. And then Dr. Mike Moore, you know, the whole idea of course materials, who knew that that was an equity issue? That's just the way, you know, we found it. So check out that episode. Love it. Hope everybody had a good show like that. Here we go, Johnny Lupinacci, though. You know, the Democrats are still talking about what they're going to do with President Biden. Who knows if the breaking, if I just gonna say, if there's ever breaking news on this, we will definitely say something about that. And maybe it would be nice if they had a, you know, breaking news down at the Minocqua Brewing Company, Johnny, because wouldn't that be a great place to break the
story? Well, I'll tell you, Tim, if there's going to be a story breaking that big, it's going to break everywhere. But you know what? You might as well be at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who are big-time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. The most sued brewery in America, because, man, they're sticking up for democracy, defending public schools. The Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Head on down to Minocqua Brewing Company or check them out at MinoccaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Tim, and we're going to sit back and see what unfolds as this week unfolds. Listener, you know, get the Civic Media app. Listen to Civic Media programming all day long for coverage, and especially going into next week, live coverage of, you know, a little convention that's happening nearby to a lot of our listeners. Mm-hmm. But all the breaking news and politics, you know, tune into Civic Media for great coverage of all that. Tim, aside from that, you know, it's hot in America, both literally and figuratively. Right now it's summertime, but there's so much going on, you know? Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to our conversation with our guests tonight. But Tim, you know what, man? It's also good to just catch up with you.
Well, it is. But, you know, I want to say, you know, back to the, you know, tonight. Yeah, great guest. Rethinking Schools. We had Dr. Sierra Collard-Jones on to introduce that partnership. Yeah, bringing back the partnership, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools, founded right there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, been putting out truly materials that, you know, you said every one of us who've been a teacher and experienced Rethinking Schools materials have always went like, wow,
Grade A.
Thank goodness they're there. And I said, my biggest intro again, you know, rethinking Christopher Columbus, the reframing just changed my world and changed my fifth graders' worlds at that time. It was just an amazing time. So we had Dr. Jones on, Kyler Jones on, and man, she has brought forward, though, too, a whole list and a whole group of people. It's going to be every second Tuesday.
Yeah, monthly spot, Tim, with Rethinking Schools. Our pals at Rethinking Schools are, our educators in arms, part of a movement, you know, to teach. And tying it to last night's show, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, friend of and big fan and educator in arms with Howard Zinn. She brought up Howard Zinn and talked about the importance that we all have open minds and critical thinking skills, and that we learn about history, not just one single story, but the diverse historical facts of what's occurred, you know, in our histories, right? So we talked about indigenous people's histories. You brought up Rethinking Columbus tonight, you know, so just linking it together to all that, but Rethinking Schools on a monthly spot. We got one of our guys here, Jesse Hagopian, one of the authors in the most recent special issue, right? Themed for Gaza here. We're talking with Jesse Hagopian. Jesse, how you doing tonight, my man?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you all so much for having me back on the show.
Jesse, it is so good to see you. Yeah, we say, you know, had you on the show multiple times, you know, when it was just a podcast, definitely had you on, you know, we've enjoyed all the conversations we've had with you. And again, the rekindling the partnership with Rethinking Schools, all the incredible work that you guys are doing there. And here you are, the first guest of Rethinking Schools to kind of come in, chop it up with Johnny and Tim, laying it out there. And so, you know, special issue, the Gaza issue. And, you know, Jesse, tell us a little bit about, you know, the preparation that went into preparing and getting ready for this special issue, because it's packed. And, you know, we know people are sitting there like, how did they even come together? What was the impetus? What pulled all of the authors? Give us a little sense of what it takes to put together a special issue of Rethinking Schools.
Sure. I mean, and we have an incredible team. It's small but mighty that puts together this magazine on a quarterly basis. And Rethinking Schools has really become the voice of social justice educators, you know, all around the country, who are writing for the magazine, who are reading the magazine, who are using the lessons in their classroom. And we don't pull together a special issue about this horrific attacks on Gaza without years and years of dedication to the struggle for Palestine. It took years of developing a political analysis to understand what's happening there. It took years of writing lessons for the classroom and adapting them and developing them, to feel confident in this moment of crisis to have something to say about it. So I think that's important. You know, myself, I went on the first African Heritage delegation of Interfaith Peace Builders Group to Palestine and spent time with host families in the West Bank. We met with Israelis and Palestinians to hear different perspectives on the conflict. And I traveled with a group of veterans of the civil rights movement. And one of those was a teacher, a Black woman named Gloria, who was one of the first teachers to integrate a school in her home county in Mississippi. And hearing her share stories about going to her school the first day it was supposed to be integrated and seeing it surrounded by the Ku Klux Klan and the Klan not allowing her to come in and teach, hearing her share that story with Palestinian activists in the West Bank who had studied the civil rights movement and were moving to implement those lessons was so powerful.
Yeah, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, yeah, I love it. Love the work, love the issue. Jesse, and you modeled this kind of, like you brought up social justice teaching. For our listener who's saying like, hey, I like the sound of that. You know, like, here are three guys who are really committed to that, who really love that. It rings true. For our listener, can you give them a good definition of social justice education, like teaching for social justice. Give them the 101 on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that's required for social justice education is allowing kids to think critically. So we have to provide a space where students are allowed to debate the issues in society. And what we're seeing in America right now is the opposite. We're seeing the fact that almost half of all students in the public schools today are going to a school where there's a law that says the teacher has to lie to them about structural racism or sexism or homophobia, and that they can't discuss those issues, right? And what we want to say is we have to discuss those issues. We can't build a society based on justice without young people learning all kinds of things about our society. The oppression that has existed from the beginning, and the incredible struggles for justice. And, you know, social justice teaching allows kids to have the discussions and the debate that the powerful and the wealthy wish they would never have. There's more to it, but I think the core of it is allowing kids to discuss the issues. So for example, like when I teach about the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, I will have all of my students be different members of SNCC. And SNCC had a lot of debates. They didn't all agree on how to build the civil rights movement. So we have some of them that are arguing that we should allow white people to be in our organization and we should join arms. And some of them are saying, no, this should be an all-Black organization. And some of them say we should work with Martin Luther King. He's a great leader. And the other ones are saying he flies into town, gives a speech, and then leaves. We need to build a different kind of organization. And the kids get to learn the real debates that existed throughout history, right? And they get to debate those things themselves. And then they get to decide for themselves what they think should have happened and compare that to what actually happened. And that's a method for social justice teaching that allows kids to learn the real debates that happened.
But Jesse, you put that forward like that too. It's so kind of strong. And in one way, I could say, so you're letting students critically think for themselves, giving them space, really creating and protecting that space and saying, you know what? And there are going to be different perspectives here, but we're going to learn from history. We're going to model from history. We're going to let you engage those things. And it's frightening in 2024 to know, as you pointed out, that type of teaching is potentially illegal in a lot of states in this country right now. Truly illegal to teach kids to grapple with facts. We know our facts. We know these are facts. They're absolutely facts. But yet the whole idea, so man, what a great positioning on teaching social justice. A lot though too, coming into this, the issue here talking about too, and your part of the article that you wrote, I know we're going to want to get really big into that as we come back from our first break. Our guest is Jesse Hagopian, one of the leaders at Rethinking Schools. Yeah, it's Rethinking Schools Tuesday. Once a month now, every month, we're going to have Rethinking Schools. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Man, make sure you get in here. Give us a call. You guys, you know the number. Put it on the app. Make sure you drop us a text. You know, all that. 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils, Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools, when we get back.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to talk about dealing with debt collectors and your rights when you are in collections. Debt collectors are people who've been hired to collect money that you owe to someone else. They can be persistent or rude or sometimes worse, but they do have to follow rules. Federal law says that they cannot call before 8 a.m. in the morning or after 9 p.m. at night. They cannot harass you, meaning they can't curse at you or threaten you. And they cannot lie to you or make up consequences for not paying your debt. And they can't tell anyone other than your spouse or your attorney about your debt. Now, if you experience any of this, you can complain about them to the Federal Trade Commission at consumer.gov. And last thought before I go, you can always ask a debt collector to stop calling you. Legally, they have to comply. If they don't, you report them to the FTC. For more money tips, go to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educators talking education. Not just any education tonight, we're talking social justice education, right? Always teaching, always learning. Learners leading learners. Mm. Got a guy with us tonight, Jesse Hagopian, big guest representing Rethinking Schools. We talked about it, one of the OG resources for a lot of us social justice educators, going strong and lucky to have them putting that resource out quarterly, right, for teachers to be learning as they're leading their learners, which is really important, especially on a lot of these issues. It was the number one thing all school year. I work with a lot of teachers. Tim and I talk to teachers. We got teachers out there that are listeners. And one of the things is, like, we always talk about, like, how do you teach global conflicts? How do you teach at, you know, age-appropriate level? You know, things that are scary for kids, things that are happening in the world, because all of us social justice educators know, like Jesse shared, you teach multiple perspectives. You take on the sometimes controversial, difficult stuff because children are witnessing our reactions and how we handle things that are complicated, things that are dangerous, things that aren't our best representation of human rights and our capacity to care for one another. Right. And we learn from struggles like the civil rights movement. We learn from unity and solidarity around the world. So, Jesse, dive into it. Jesse's article in the Rethinking Schools most recent issue, Israel's War on Gaza is also a war on history, education, and children. Jesse, tell our listeners a little bit about this article. And we were talking before the show a little bit about how you're connecting some important dots, building some solidarity, right? And some of the conversations you got to have with inspiring people today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, in the article I write, I want educators to think about what it would be like to be a teacher in Palestine, to be a teacher in Gaza. None of us got to choose where we were born. The fact that I happen to be here instead of in Gaza, my life is dramatically different. And in Gaza, every single university has been bombed, right? Hundreds of schools have been bombed using bombs made by Boeing that is in my hometown of Seattle, right? Our taxpayer money is going to fund the occupation of Palestine, and U.S. corporations are profiting off of blowing up schools there. And I want educators to think about what it would be like to be teaching in Gaza, where you have a genocidal war being waged. Another word that's important to understand, scholasticide. The destruction, the, you know, direct targeting and destruction of schools that's going on there. And, you know, many educators believe that students should be able to discuss the most important topics that adults are talking about in society. And so many social justice educators are organizing lessons to have students discuss what they think of schools being bombed in Gaza. And for doing that, there can be harsh repercussions, right? I have a friend who was teaching about Palestine, and they brought a mobile billboard to his school with his face on it and a website taken out under his legal name to smear him as anti-Semitic because he was against bombing schools. And he thought students should be able to talk about that. And, you know, in fact, the social justice movement that calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza believes that every life is precious and that we have to fight all forms of oppression, whether that's racism, Islamophobia, or anti-Semitism. All of those forms of oppression have to be fought, but we can't fight oppression and support genocide at the same time. And so we believe young people are intellectuals and are able to confront difficult ideas and come up with their own opinions. They might not agree with what my opinion is, but they have a right to hear from people in our society who think that it's wrong to bomb schools. And they have a right to consider whether that's right or not. And they have a right to speak out about it and learn about the history that led up to this moment so that we don't pretend that the current war came out of nowhere, that this is the first conflict of its kind, so that they can understand the history that led up to where we are now.
So much history involved too, Jesse, as you were talking about that. And, you know, just think about this. And again, putting it back to into that reality of a classroom, you know, a classroom of eighth graders sitting out there, you know, and maybe in Madison, Wisconsin, or in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and thinking about who's sitting out in front of me, and, you know, 25 seventh, eighth graders, they're going to have 25 multiple perspectives. And so bringing this concept up, you know, I'm even thinking about that. I mean, how do you wrestle with the multiple perspectives when students might vehemently disagree?
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be difficult when there are very strong opinions, and that difficulty just shows that it's so important to do. And so when we're looking at the history of the United States, we can either teach this history as it was a beacon of freedom from the beginning that built the freest society on earth, or we can teach that some believed that and some people said that, and then there was also a genocide against Native Americans and their land was taken. And we could teach that slavery occurred and my ancestors were put into bondage. And I can either decide to hide that history from my students, or I can allow them to grapple with those very difficult questions and some hard history, right? The same is true with Israel and Palestine. We can just teach that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East, and there's no right for Palestinians to their land that some people would suggest. Or we can teach that in 1948, Israel imposed itself as a country by dispossessing native people in Palestine from their land, and that actually the Nakba occurred. And we can have them grapple with what happened in 1948, how Israel was established, who lost their land. And they can hear perspectives on both sides and then consider what they believe.
And Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools, truly busting pencils with us tonight. Jesse, man, thank you so much for your time tonight. When we get back, Tim and Johnny breaking it down. Jesse Hagopian, Rethinking Schools. Go out there, download a copy of that. Sign up, Rethinking Schools. Give them some love. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The family of a Milwaukee man who died at the hands of private security guards is demanding accountability. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner has ruled Deontay Mitchell's death on June 30th a homicide. Criminal charges, though, have not been filed. The family's lawyer wants Milwaukee police to release body cam video. Pro-democracy advocates say they're pleased with Friday's Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling making ballot drop boxes legal again. Nick Ramos is with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
The electorate can access our democracy when it isn't necessarily so convenient for our healthcare workers, the rural community, single parents.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty says the court's liberal majority made a political decision. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The University of Wisconsin Regents approved raises for 8 of 13 chancellors in the system yesterday. UW Green Bay's Michael Alexander will get a 5% raise. The UW Oshkosh Chancellor Andrew Levert did not get one of the raises. These raises come as the system grapples with financial problems brought on by declining enrollments and no increases in state aid. Some of the most exciting advances in aviation, including electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, will be showing their stuff at EAA Air Venture 2024. Director of Communications, Dick Nepinski.
When you get the people who might fly one-person ultralights all the way up to when an airliner or a C-17 suddenly lands, or this year we're getting a B-52 that'll be on display all week. So all of these things come in, and it's like, wow, what a mix.
EAA is July 22nd through the 28th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Norman Reedus is working hard to keep his character's Walking Dead spinoff fresh. Reedus has played Daryl Dixon for the franchise for the past 15 years now, 10-plus seasons on The Walking Dead, and now 2 seasons on the latest installment, The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. In the first season, Dixon washes up on the shores of France, which is where the apocalypse and virus started. I'm just guessing that the spinoff explores how French zombies look down on their American zombie counterparts. In not at all anticipated in any way, shape, or form sequel news, there is a sequel in the works for John Tucker Must Die, which was released in the early 2000s. Talk about making people wait for closure they've long since forgotten about. Actress Brittany Snow and Penn Badgley appear to be left out of the new film. Sometimes things just work out. The original movie got panned with a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, but with the new film, the filmmakers are hoping to achieve mediocrity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy. Stray storm or two in the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week. Sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s.
Right now it's 80.
Ready to revamp your life? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss is here to guide you. Experience the convenience of telemedicine appointments and medication delivery, making your health journey hassle-free. Experiencing weight gain, fatigue, or loss of libido? Revamp Hormone Replacement and Weight Loss offers customized solutions to help you feel your best. Discover Semaglutide, a breakthrough in weight loss for just $300 a month. Visit RevampHRT.com or call 920-659-0249 to unlock your potential.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us tomorrow from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls for the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour 2. Trigby Olson, Pat Freitlow, and myself, be there.
Thanks.
Oh, come on. We love Fields. Why are they weeds? They're not weeds. They're life. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Great guests. First two segments of the show. Jesse Hagopian, editor, Rethinking Schools. Johnny, special issue, the Gaza issue, and then his chapter, you know, and then say Jesse had to run. People are like, don't you guys usually have guests on? And yeah, but Jesse, you know, we were lucky to get him as long as we had him. And, you know, so much there, so much to dig in on. And Johnny, that idea of the here and now, and the kids are going to ask these questions, and kids are seeing kids as the victims of war. And how we talk about that is, you know, people are like, well, is this an anti-war movement? Is it an anti-occupy movement? Is it a, and I kind of heard Jesse saying, you know what, in a classroom of kids, you might get all of those perspectives in the classroom. And if you're a social justice educator, you better know how to deal with it. And there's that balancing act is the way and I hate the word balance too, right? You know, it's not the right word. But the artistry to be a social justice educator, to be able to take those young voices and help them position their thoughts. That, I guess that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Tim, I'll just simplify it for you too a little bit and offer my perspective. You know, it requires some patience, some humility, and some commitment. It requires patience to listen to and model for young people, especially, but any age students or learners in our classroom, to model that we listen to one another, that it's important to have views and have thoughts and to share them and to talk through them, to have dialogue and conversation, but also to be really committed to informed conversation. But you got to be patient in between there, because you're teaching young people to be informed. You're helping connect them to trustworthy information, to making sense of that. I think, you know, Jesse brought it up. We talked about it. Nancy Carlson Page yesterday talked about critical thinking, right? That they develop and they think and they share their thoughts. And together as a group, they sort of, you know, hold space for multiple perspectives to sometimes clash. It doesn't, it's not all about thinking the same way. That said, you know, sometimes it takes some humility. And I like that Jesse said, like, I'll share my perspective. I'll bring that trustworthy information. And I want people to listen, like hold space for it, digest it, think critically about it, and develop how they think, they feel, and they react to it. And I add that humility piece to the commitment, Tim, because I think most people that identify as social justice educators are just most young people I meet. Care about the world. They care about their friends. They care about diverse people of the world. And that care, that empathy that they have for anybody suffering, is at the core of sort of that commitment. So how do we do better, knowing that we want to ask difficult questions, like how are governments either representing our best interests or not when it comes to who's benefiting and who's suffering, right? And so we stay committed to that. And it's, I'll boil down even into a more simple level, right? If any group or anyone's being oppressed, that's a term I want to really, again, I'm not going to hyperbolize.
Right.
Oppression is real. And, you know, that's the, like the domination, whether it's political domination or force used, it doesn't even have to be physical force. It can be, you know, ideas. It can be laws. It can be policy. But any group that's oppressed or any person that's oppressed, right, ought not to be. So we have the capacity as groups of human beings to find a common good, to find a way where oppression doesn't prevail, where coexistence, you know, comes out as the outcome. And we work towards that. We work towards that. So I love that Jesse, you know, highlighted social justice education. He debunked that myth that social justice educators are out there indoctrinating you.
Right.
But it can't be further from the truth. It's messy. It's complicated, but it's worthwhile. But he also modeled for us patience, humility, and commitment. So love those things. Love them, Tim. Love that. We got Mark from the SAC on the phone. Let's bring Mark in. Are we holding them for a little bit later?
Yeah. Let's hold them for another minute. Hold on, Mark. We will get to you in a second there. Because Johnny, when you put that out there, that idea of humility too. And then though it made me think though too, you know, and teachers have knowledge and expertise that they bring to these conversations, and the ability to talk in a way that even to the standpoint where a kid goes, well, I just don't believe that. Is there a space to jump in and say, I know you might not believe that, but here are the facts in front of you. Let's take a look at them. How do you wrestle with a potential new set of facts, and maybe not even a new set of facts? How do you wrestle with a perspective?
There it is, that bell. Every day on Busted Pencils, democracy in action. Tim, you led us right into it. Perfect timing tonight. Because democracy in action, I couldn't think of a better example than what you were just sharing. That commitment to the messiness, to the disagreement, to holding space, right? And all democracy in action, right, is aligned with core democratic values. So I brought it up in this segment, the importance of social justice education, but really of any public education to, you know, fostering the development of critical thinking. Because that's how we grapple with difference, a condition of all of our existence, because liberty is a core democratic value. Liberty includes a freedom for us to believe in whatever we want, freedom to choose our friends, freedom to have our own ideas, opinions, to express those ideas in public, especially in school, right? And the right for people to meet in groups, like have a classroom, have an education, and the right to have any lawful job or business or to be part of your community, right? However, that doesn't mean it comes at the expense of common good. So we have to be able to get together. So democracy in action today is not only Jesse Hagopian's contribution to the conversation, but it's social justice educators out there everywhere who are committed to the difficult task of being patient, committed, and bringing humility to the difficult task of holding space for young people to have multiple perspectives, to get trustworthy information, and to learn to discern together the common good. That's today's democracy in action, Tim. Love it when that bell rings every day here on Busted Pencils.
Wow.
On that note, though, woo.
Wow. So,
Tim, all what right. are you thinking, my man?
Now I'm thinking, though, too, it's just like, man, you get me going, all that. The social justice educator, it's weird how in less than 18 months that whole idea of social justice educator, and I hear it sometimes and go, oh, I want to be careful I don't get labeled as that because it's going to come off. And like, wait a minute, Johnny, social justice educator, bringing critical multiple perspectives to the common good. I want to reclaim the title somehow, you know.
Tim's digitiming. So I'm going to jump in, Tim, because I think I'm picking up what you're laying down. You know, social justice educator, that commitment to having diverse conversations, to holding space for multiple perspectives, for not erasing histories, to bring it back to the article Jesse Hagopian shares in Rethinking Schools. And listener, we keep referencing it. We'll have a link to it in the podcast description. So if you come back around to listen to the show, or you just check it out on Civic Media website or wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to also have that link to Rethinking Schools issue and to grab Jesse's article to see what he's talking about. But he's connecting that importance of the kind of teaching we're talking about to a movement right now in our own country to limit history, to silence it. And I'll go as far as to even say erase it. Right. And he talks about a war on history being a very dangerous thing. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with that, because we learn, y'all heard it, listener out there, you've heard multiple versions of this, but you've heard we learn history so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. Mark Twain purportedly said history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And I like that statement, because you know what? History is how we learn not to make past mistakes. It's also, tying it to tonight's democracy in action, how we learn to discern together a common good where we coexist. We don't ignore diversity, condition of difference upon which we all exist. We don't throw, you know, our hands in the air and say, well, you know, this diversity thing is just too hard. This equality thing, you know, really limits my liberties. No, it just makes it harder. It's just a little bit of a challenge. Democracy is a challenge. How we come together to figure this stuff out and discern, right? That's really an important skill. Tim, you're back. You're no longer.
Thank goodness I'm back. I know. Go off into that ether world or whatever you want to say it. But Johnny, the word discern, you keep using that word. And what a great word, actually, too. Vocabulary lesson here tonight on Busted Pencils. You know, people are like, no, I know what the word discern means. But you hear the way you're using it, the whole idea of engaging in the act of discernment. What a very critical skill to be thinking about as we're delivering that to our students, the ability to discern. And so when somebody says you're indoctrinating, no, we're helping students learn to discern. I think you're offended by the fact that we're teaching discernment and you've twisted it into indoctrination. Sorry, discernment ain't no indoctrination. It's just not. But man, the way it gets corrupted into turning people, it's like, no. So I want to proudly proclaim social justice education and moving towards discernment, because man, what a powerful, powerful way to teach and to hold that space. And Johnny, as you said, that's what we do here every night on Busted Pencils.
That's right, Tim. And I'll add to it that patience and humility and commitment. Those three things, because discernment is, you know, the ability to make smart judgment. And it's not an easy thing. You have to take in those multiple perspectives and you have to practice it, because what we don't want is a complicated decision to put us into dysregulation. We don't need to be in panic. We don't need to be in fight or flight. We ought to be comfortable in discernment. You know who's comfortable in discernment? Our guy, L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom's on the phone. Can we get L.A. Tom on? One of my favorite discernments from the West Coast.
L.A. Tom, what's happening, hey, our friend?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Democrats believe in a democracy. Obviously, the Republicans or the Republicans in power believe in an autocracy. And I wanted to talk about history repeating itself, because, you know, it's no mistake that they came up with the name Project 2025. Because in 1925 is when Hitler actually came on the scene and started taking over. So I hope people do not relive history. I hope they do get out and vote in massive numbers to actually keep our democracy, because the Supreme Court has already made it so they're already going towards Project 2025. But now on top of that, if Donald Trump or the Republicans get into power, it's going to be full on bore authoritarianism, breaking down of every institution that we spoke about a couple weeks ago, that there is. Anything that has a department of will be gone. It will all be political appointees of dear leader rather than the other. I also would ask that every time we say the name Donald Trump, which I don't even like saying the name myself, but I think we really need to remind people every time, lying Donald Trump, lying Trump. Because, you know, a lot of times the media will say, well, Donald Trump said this. Well, no, lying Donald Trump said this.
Yeah. I love that, L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom calling us in, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Hey, you can join us too. 855-752-4842 is the number, because, yeah, Johnny, democracy in action, Jesse Agopian, Rethinking Schools, social justice, teaching, discernment, digging in, multiple perspectives, controversy, actually leaning into that controversy, because without that, how are students going to learn to actually coexist for the common good if we don't learn how to have these great conversations, difficult conversations, discernment? Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. More when we get back.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media. You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Rethinking Schools Tuesday. Our guest, editor Jesse Hagopian, teacher, social justice educator, Israel-Palestine conflict. How do we teach it? How do we put forward conversations, discernment, common good, democracy in action, and L.A. Tom. And now, Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark's on the line. What's happening, Mark?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. That you brought up that what we need to be teaching our kids in school. I mean, I can, your thoughts are bubbling back in my head from stuff that I learned back in junior high school, and that how government is supposed to be, you know, something for a force for good. That and this whole Christian nationalism thing kind of disturbs me quite a bit. You know, recognizing the fact that some of those same folks that claim, well, you know, we were Christian nationalism at nationalist at our founding, and ignores the fact that I learned in history that we actually rejected that because we rejected the Puritan ideal of that they just had, you know, Puritanism was the only way to go, and that we shouldn't have those separations. You know, that religion shouldn't be running the political show. I mean,
it's a plurality that we think about when we hear this too, and I think Mark's talking about, Johnny, you know, when it comes to religions. You know, and again, America, for me, the plurality of religions and the celebration of multiple religions and the fact that you can make that decision in this country to be, you know, if you want to be a devout conservative Christian, you can. If you want to be, you know, a fundamentalist Hindu, you can. If you want to be a radical agnostic like some guy I know, you can be that person.
Who would that be, Tim?
And, I don't know. But, you know, and that the government isn't going to tell you you can't do that. And we start to see now, and I think this is Mark's referring to this, and even Tom with Project 25, the creep of what we're saying is Christian nationalism, where there is an imposition, it feels like, of a Christianity, and maybe even a Christianity, not maybe, a Christianity that is largely built into a heritage myth as opposed to a historical fact. You know, sorry, people say the Bible, all these things. It just, all these things, though, Johnny, the discernment, it comes back to this. How do we have these conversations in a classroom of plurality in a public school where we have multiple religions? We have to hold the reality of saying those multiple religions are all going to be able to discern with each other and coexist. You use that word all the time, Johnny, coexist.
Well, yeah, and I talk about it in terms of, if we bring it back to core democratic values, like this is, school is a function of democracy. Democracy, you know, sets some parameters. It gives some, for lack of better words, some rules to the game of how we make decisions together. And I'll take two core democratic values and say all core democratic values have to be like respected and valued as playing the game of democracy. Like, you got to play by the rules. And two of those, that are pretty important. They all are really important. But if we just take two from what you were saying about this goal of coexisting, is liberty. You have liberty. You have the freedom in this country and in any democracy to your belief system, but doesn't come at the cost of equality and common good. That other people also have that freedom, and nobody's freedoms can take away the safety, the right and the importance of being able to have, you know, a safe, equal, space to be in. And so whether that's women, whether that's people who are non-identifying as cisgendered or as, you know, straight male, like those are systems like patriarchy, white supremacy, heteronormativity, all these things. Those are systems of belief that we have that people experience, but you don't get to have them at the cost of other people being able to have their diverse ways of identifying and being. So that coexistence parts is something we work towards. And it's often a reminder like, hey, we have rules for a reason. Rules of democracy have core democratic values. We follow those rules. You have a right. You have liberty, your right to your freedoms, but they don't come at the expense of the other core democratic values that happen to be like we value diversity. We value equality. We value, common good, a safe. And that is a government's responsibility. So that is when like L.A. Tom calls in and talks about, the Democratic Party is pro-democracy. I agree with them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the Democratic Party right now. I'm waiting to see what happens, but I'm not happy in general, not just speaking of the most current reasons, but that I will agree with. And I like that L.A. Tom also made a good distinction that the Republicans in power, power for a particular reason, like to enforce something like Project 25. That is not pro-democracy.
No.
And I also will come back to L.A. Tom saying, he said this before on the show. He said, it's also kind of not really Christian.
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of like, so it usurps, it sort of jumps on the bandwagon of Christianity in order to keep things in power and to really be anti-democratic. And that to me is a big problem.
It's absolutely that too. And you talk about this and then LA Tom texting us all throughout you talking there, Johnny, anti-Christian. Maybe we should teach what real Christianity is in other religions, teach in a religious school, non-anti-Christian. Okay. Yeah. It gets, man, we talk about this multiple perspectives. How do we bring this together and realize though, Johnny, that the place of public schools is not to indoctrinate any Christianity, any Hinduism, any agnosticism. It's not. It's to welcome all of those faiths, those beliefs, those non-beliefs together.
Or to foster, fear of difference, right? So it may be not directly teaching those principles of belief systems, but it can also, it is not the role of any public school in democracy to teach Islamophobia, to teach anti-blackness, to teach, sexism, to reinforce those. And that's where us as educators, to loop back around, social justice education is committed to teaching in a way that supports everybody's right to democracy and our responsibility to maintaining that and learning to be our best selves when we're considering one another and our own interests.
Man, what a night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Jesse Agopian, thank you so much for your time. Mark and L.A. Tom, thanks for the calls. Tomorrow night, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Can't wait to see y'all. Check it out. See y'all tomorrow night. Just a couple of announcements.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep it
clean. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker, I'll tell you that.
Wow. That's unbelievable. You Hollywood types.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.